The following is a production of Galactic Netcasts.
Welcome to another podcast. It's here. I gave serious consideration to trying something different and gave up about 2 seconds in because this is America and that's just what we do. This is a production of Galactic Netcasts, and this is a show where my old pal Corey, who, if you're watching the video, is somewhere down here.
I like how you're pointing to your penis. Well, I'm assuming that you carry it to the right.
Yeah, well, I call it the old hook shot. So I kind of drift off to the right. So it's my wife's learned to accept that about me, and it's okay.
But is it because there's a gap there because of the missing testicle? That's a throwback, people. If you've listened to previous episodes,
Have I talked about my balls before?
Oh yeah, with Travis.
Oh, that totally makes sense. That is definitely a dude that I would talk about my balls with. What episode was that?
That was the one where we talked about Nightmare on Elm Street versus Hellraiser.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what number it was. But yeah, no, if you want to hear more about my balls, listen to the Nightmare on Elm Street
episode. Yeah, it was the double up.
Yeah, it was a good time, and I talked about my balls. So like I said, that's Corey, who likes talking about my balls. Corey, how are you?
I like remembering about your balls. I don't need to have a lot of conversation. I just need a couple of pictures.
How are your balls?
I guess just the one picture, actually. Mine are good. They're crawled up into me right now because tonight I have my second sleep study scheduled, where I get to try out a bunch of equipment while being hooked up to diodes and Metroids and
we're a grown
something
man.
That looks like out of a Mario cartridge from the 80s.
Where a grown man touches you in your sleep?
Well, he touches me before I sleep, and then he watches me all through the night.
Oh, sounds like a child's nightmare.
We are going to be doing a review today of Black Christmas. We are doing our Horror on Christmas episodes throughout December.
Our Christmas Horrors episodes?
Well, I was like the War on Christmas, except with horror.
Well, it could be the War on Guns or Drugs, but it's Christmas instead.
It was either that or Dismembered December, so I figured this would be a little bit
less. It could be
less.
A December to Dismember.
Yes, okay, that's beautiful.
There we go.
We did not plan that.
No, not at all. Well, do you think we'd plan any of this shit? I do want to wage war on putting up your fucking Christmas lights before Thanksgiving, and if you do that, shame on you, and I'm going to shit on your doorstep.
But it'll be festive shit.
It'll be festive. I'll put garland on it, and it'll smell like pine trees.
Up on your doorstep, poop, poop, poop. Santa Claus coming down the chute.
That's really awesome. So that whole the derailment, which is a common theme, we actually had a review on iTunes that specifically called out my ability to derail episodes. Thank you, Burl Hardy.
Yes, thank you so much. That was that really made my week. That was an amazing review. Not just because it was nice, but also was it our first one?
Yeah, it was our first one on iTunes. I don't even know how to check on Stitcher. Some days I don't know how to use a computer.
Well, Stitcher's all thumbs up and thumbs down, so I imagine that it's just a giant fist that comes out and nails you. So iTunes is a little bit more difficult for me because I hardly ever open up my MacBook anymore, and that's the only computer that has iTunes by default.
See, and it might make me like a pretentious prick because I go and check to see if we've gotten reviews once in a while.
we're always asking for feedback. We're always asking for people to let us know how we're doing. And while this review was a 5-star review, and thank you very much.
Yeah,
we are not little pissants who just demand that kind of attitude. So if you want to put us back into the negative a little bit, you can go to iTunes, you can go to Stitcher, and you can give a shit. We accept that. We're not proud.
Well, you know what? You say that, but there was one time I found a review from an old podcast Dave and I did. It was the Sci-Fi Film School, and someone kind of tore me a new asshole, and it hurt my feelings. Pretty bad. I never thought the internet could hurt my feelings before.
Was it Anessa?
No. No. I'm going to have to look it up now, but the person referred to me as being like uninformed and not fun. I don't know, whatever. While I find this so that I can relive my sadness on the internet, we'll do some news here real quick. There's the movie The Strangers. For anyone who doesn't know, It's the movie about a home invasion. Guy's wearing like a bag on his head, and he's with two chicks that are wearing like doll masks. It wasn't a bad movie. I don't remember it enough to really remember what happened, other than a bunch of people broke into a house.
Yeah, it was
killed everybody.
If I remember The Strangers, and it's confusing because there's been a lot of films that are similar to it. I think it's the one that has Liv Tyler and is it Dermot Mulroney and Glenn Howerton from Always Sunny?
I don't know. I guess it's up now.
My wife won a Blu-ray from toplessrobot.com, which is now the robot. speaks.com or something like that. If you go to Topless Robot, you can still find it. And so we had that, and I think our Blu-ray player died while trying to play it the first time, so I don't know that I've ever seen it, but we do own it somewhere. If it's the one I'm thinking of, there's like too many of these things started getting very similar. We did a movie review of one a couple weeks ago that felt very Torment, much like The Strangers.
Pile of shit. And it was because of The Strangers that I wanted to do some home invasion movies. And to go back and answer your question, yes, it has Liv Tyler. Yes, it has Glenn Howerton. Also, Scott Speedman, Gemma Ward, Kip Weeks, Laura Margolis. But yeah, anyways, they announced the second one. It's coming out December 2nd, 2016, which I think is strange since they don't even have a director, a cast, and they don't have anyone to produce the film.
Yeah, I always get weirded out by this new trend. I mean, to me, and maybe it's because of the openness of the internet, that they have these dates set for movies that aren't anywhere in even really the works yet. I see a lot of announcements, especially with the DC and Marvel movies, where they haven't got it written and they've already got a release date for it. And that just kind of, it doesn't sit right with me. But The Strangers 2, I think we kind of know what we're getting with it. A sequel to a home invasion movie. I'm betting there's going to be more home invasion. I'm betting there's going to be more weird masks, and I'm betting that it's going to be very, very mildly connected to the first one, if at all.
Well, if I remember correctly, there's like a weird twist at the end. It involves money and like someone dying in an inheritance. So I guess we'll find out. They could, in all reality, make a sequel to the first one. I just don't know if it'll be like a stretch to make it believable, but we'll find out.
I just somehow doubt that that's going to be their first instinct or care, especially if none of the cast returns or if there's any cast left to return.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, December 2nd, 2016, Strangers 2. Hopefully it doesn't get pushed back, but I bet it will. Going back, I found the review of the sad fuck who thought it was cool to make fun of me on the internet. Lock7, who I actually checked out. You can click on your username in iTunes and see all the reviews. Like, every review they post is mean. So this person this just might be their shtick. But it says, the host tries to make a good podcast, but Matt is boring, uninformed, and annoying. Neither of these guys add much insight. I wanted to like the podcast because I like the films that they review, but it's so uneven and disjointed. This needs serious retooling. Yeah. I don't respect that person.
I'm not going to disagree with the uninformed, but that's one of the things that I think is charming about you. I like the fact that you, especially it.
Well, that
obviously,
that's
a different
point.
Podcast.
That I think was the whole point of that sci-fi film school podcast, is because I don't like sci-fi.
Right, exactly. That's why when I've listened to you on Sci-Fi Geeks Club, I enjoy it because you bring an outsider's perspective to things. Now, usually your outsider's perspective is fuck Doctor Who. But
it's because I don't understand why you people like it.
It's good that you bring that to it, because
you know
the thing.
You know what's even worse is I did Secret Santa for Reddit, and the person I got paired with loved Doctor Who. That's all they talked about in their thing was, oh, I fucking love Doctor Who so much. So I had to ask Brad, who hosts the Adventure Party podcast, what to buy this person. So I was like, Brad, you could spend this much money for this random person I found on the internet. Tell me what to buy them. Moving on.
You brought
this story, the Trauma Institute for the Gifted Youth.
It's Troma. It's based from the Troma films. So this is the Toxic Avenger, Sergeant Kabuki Man, Romeo and Juliet, those things. So Troma is introducing something called the Troma Institute for Gifted Youth. It is where they are seeking out and building up young filmmakers, and not just young filmmakers as looking for the next Scorsese or the next Spielberg, but we're talking about filmmakers who are doing things like trauma films. So starting in 2016, Troma will be supporting now even younger talent, promoting high school age filmmakers through its incoming Troma Institute for Gifted Youth. Program's still in the early stages. Lloyd Kaufman and the rest of the Troma team are committed to personally helping film industry find young filmmakers who endeavor to make their own damn movies. This will include support throughout the production, as well as distribution under the new Troma Institute for Gifted Youth label. It's cute because the picture I saw for it looks something like out of Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters out of the X-Men. Also, they already have someone in the first running. First film to be released in this new program is 17-year-old Kansas Bowling's B.C. Butcher. It says, displaying talent and imagination that far surpasses her youth, Miss Bowling, maybe, offers up this first-of-its-kind prehistoric slasher flick that has to be seen to believe. The film, executive produced by Troma president and creator of The Toxic Avenger, Lloyd Kaufman, features amputations, disembowelment, psychedelic dreams, cute cave chicks, Cato Kaelin in a loincloth,
Jesus,
and a punk rock band playing guitars made out of watermelons, and all from the brilliant mind of this charismatic young director. B.C. Butcher truly has something for everyone. I just think this is tremendous. It not only cockles my heart to see young filmmakers starting up and doing horror. We talked about when we watched Feast and did the review that it was something that happened under Project Greenlight. So seeing new horror makers come about is great anyways, but going to young filmmakers, people who would be normally doing this on their own with their iPhones, is even cooler. And adding the fact that the first one is a young lady is somehow even cooler to me. I just think this is a blast. Troma is always a weird film company, and I don't necessarily love all their stuff. I have a place in my heart for it, but it's also really kind of nasty and dumb, but in a good way. But I'm just glad it exists, you know?
Yeah, but this much like what the internet has done. God, I don't know how to say this without being kind of a dick.
Well, then it's you.
My problem. Thanks. My problem with things like this is kind of the same concept with a GoFundMe or an Indiegogo, where everyone can make their dream happen if you can sell yourself. You know what I mean? With the internet came the ability for everyone to get their content out to the masses, which makes it harder and harder to find quality stuff. So I don't know, with Troma being kind of established already, hopefully they will sift through that crap for you and only release what they see as good things.
Well, I think they're looking for people who match their vision, their storytelling kind of niche. And I think that's good. Yeah, if you were going around and you were just making your blind pitch to all these different production companies, it's sort of the same thing, except this is, they're actively, it's like putting out a call for actors for a part. But in this case, they're putting out a call for new producers of content. And in particular, they're looking for young producers of content. It's kind of like Willy Wonka, if there was a lot of rape and melting of faces.
You win. You win that one. Next, just as creepy as Willy Wonka's face melting, you also got this one, but there's two eerie dolls walking around London taunting commuters, and it's two 10-year-old sisters who dressed up like dolls, like porcelain dolls with creepy masks and shit. And they're just like walking around doing stuff. I mean, I didn't get to do a ton of research on it. There's just some pictures where they're like standing. So they're like walking by the subway and people are just staring at them, or they're standing on the subway and like this girl is terrified.
It turns out that I sent this to you originally because I thought it was going to be something good for Weird World Weekly, but it actually is known what this is relation to. It's part of a week-long marketing ploy by illusionist Darren Brown for his forthcoming psychological attraction at Thorpe Park. I don't know what any of that means. All I know is that Here in America, we have guns. And if I was walking through any kind of place, I don't care if it's McDonald's, if it's the local Walmart, and I saw these two dolls, there would be not enough clips in the world for me to unload on these things. So good that it's happening in a place where they don't have the same love of artillery as we do here.
They probably just throw crumpets at them.
It's so true.
Splash tea in their eyes.
Good sharp crumpet in the midsection is nothing to sneeze at.
A day-old crumpet will really hurt your guts.
It's true. I want to ask Daryl from our Who Knew and Review if he's seen these and what he would do to protect himself in dirty old London.
Well, this is in London, and Daryl described to me that he lives in the humpy bit of England. So I don't think the humpy bit is London, but
that could just be his windowless van. I don't really know what the
that's
humpy
true.
Bit is either.
What I'm going to do is I'm not going to tell him that we talked about him on this episode. So we'll see if he actually listens.
Okay.
And then Daryl, if you can answer this question, I will give you something super American, like a bag of sugar.
Yeah. Nothing related to Doctor Who.
Yeah. Big steak or something, but not Doctor Who anything. Nope.
But we will try to put links to this and to our other stories.
There will
be show notes.
There will be links.
Because you need to see these things.
Well, my favorite part, before I let you get into the white man business, is the way you sent this thing to me. I gotta pull up the message real quick. But it was just like a link, and you're like, hello, shit in my pants. Yeah, hello, shit that just appeared in my pants. And I was like, well, I'll be damned, you win.
I clicked the link myself, and immediately it was like, oh, well, these need to be changed. So yeah, it's not an attractive thing to see. I imagine that it's much like seeing a Kardashian in the wild. But hey, if you're out in the wild and you want to listen to some of the other stories in the glorious Galactic Netcast Network, you can go to gncast.com and you can find things like Daryl's show, Who News in Review, or you can look up many of our other shows, including Sci-Fi Geeks Club, Weird World Weekly, which Matt himself is on, Adventure Party, which unfortunately I saw was not going to be able to record this week because of illness.
Yes.
But you can listen to past episodes, which is fun to do, like our reviewer who decided to go back after the Matt Vincent episode that brought him to us and listen to our older shows. All of our old shows are still there. It's like nothing goes away on the internet. Nope. That's a lesson to you, kids.
Yep.
You can also join up with the Galactic Collective. You can find a link on gncast.com. And you can email us feedback at galacticnetcast@gmail.com or leave us a voice message by calling 805-328-3966. We would love to hear from you.
So funny that you, well, yes, the reviewer got listened to our show because of the Matt Vincent episode, which is fucking cool because that's what I wanted to happen. But every time I see all of the Twilight movies on my computer and I remember that I have to watch like 10 hours of this garbage, I get a little sad. And then I remember that one of my coworkers wants to just get shit hammered while we watch them. And I'm like, I think I could watch 10 hours of Twilight while I'm plastered for 8 of those.
Yeah, well, I was going through the Plex last night and I saw all the Twilight movies on there. I realized that this is why I need to drink again.
Yeah.
I gave up alcohol before I met my wife. So it's been almost 18 years, I think, since I've had an alcoholic beverage. And this is a cry for whiskey sours.
I started drinking at noon yesterday at a one-year-old's birthday party because I live in Wisconsin and that's just what you do. And we were
when he woke up, he was 4.
I woke up 3 years later. I don't know what the hell happened. My butthole hurt, too. It's weird.
Whoa. Okay.
That's weird. Okay. I guess we figured
out where
the line is.
Speaking of mildly inappropriate, let's talk about Black Christmas.
Oh, man. You so pumped to watch this movie, too, because you're like, everyone keeps saying we should watch this movie.
No, I said exactly what it was, which was Matt Vincent, when we talked about doing our Christmas shows, he said, oh, like that one with the chick from Party of Five in it. And there was some confusion as to which chick from Party of Five it was. It turned out it was Lacey Chabert, who is in this along with Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Michelle Trachtenberg, Katie Cassidy, Crystal Lowe, and Andrea Martin. Now, Andrea Martin has the distinction of actually having been in the original 1974 version of Black Christmas.
I did not know that.
Which many people are saying do not compare this to because it is unfair. The original Black Christmas is also one of those things that gets compared to the original Halloween a lot because they find that it was one of the inspirations for how that film was done. I did not go searching for that one this time, although I'm interested in it because it also has Olivia Hussey and Margot Kidder in it. But this was not good.
Mm-mm.
We're going to spoil you right now and say it's not getting a lot of dead hookers. It stars a lot of dead hookers.
You know what I need to do is get the Billy Madison thing lineup where he talks about a nice piece of shit. And then every time we watch a bad movie, I could just play the, here's a nice piece of shit.
Yeah, this is deserving of that. Let's talk a little bit about it. So Black Christmas was, of course, a remake film. It was written and directed by Glenn Morgan, who is pretty famous for his work on X-Files, mm-hmm. and a lot of other stuff on TV. X-Files is probably what I know him best for, he and his brother Darren. And apparently there was a lot of controversy behind this film because the film he wanted to make, as he wanted to make it, kind of started to get usurped by the Weinsteins. And they started filming scenes without him, calling the actresses back, changing stuff up. There is stuff in the trailer for this movie. There are scenes that were recorded that are not in the film at all and were never meant to be in the film. Including one woman out on the ice finding another woman's body reaching through the ice to grab at her. And Michelle Trachtenberg's character, Melissa, is walking down a hallway. And the villain of the film is somehow hanging on the ceiling right above her. Oh, and finally, I guess she opens up the door at some point with a shotgun and says, Merry Christmas, motherfucker.
Yep.
None of that's in this movie.
Oh.
And it seems like it would have been better if it was.
Absolutely. And you know what the worst part was? When you were talking about it, I'm like, I don't remember any of these parts in the movie. Now I know why, because they weren't really there.
They weren't there, and they were never intended to be there. So this was a film...
That would have been so much cooler if the Merry Christmas motherfucker happened, because it's that comic relief and like an end. And that's what this movie kind of needed. It got dumb at the end. Like, where it was fighting through the hospital and shit. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it seemed like... Well, the ending is also different in the UK version compared to the American version.
Sorry, Daryl.
Yeah. I don't know if there's is better or worse, but...
It's probably worse.
There turns out to be two villains in this that are both brother and sister and father and daughter. And that's the kind of quality film we're looking at here, kids.
Yeah.
There is a scene in this movie where a mother who hates her husband and hates her infant son so much that she and her boyfriend kill the husband, lock the son up in the attic mm-hmm. for years, and then when she realizes that her new boyfriend is impotent, she goes and has sex with her 12-year-old son to get pregnant with his sister. And that's actually probably the most interesting part of the movie.
It was weird. I kind of felt dirty and uncomfortable watching it.
Oh yeah, no, this is a whole lot of... When I put this on, my wife looked and she said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, this is the assignment this week." And she's like,
"This is
you're not going to be able to get through this."
I like how you blame it on me. Like, this is what he told me to watch. Like, I didn't watch it. He's going to kick me off the show if I don't watch it.
I'm trying to think of what holiday horror movie is going to be the one that's actually okay.
I'm really excited for Santa's Sleigh.
Yes.
Because that stars Goldberg of WCW fame.
Oh, Lord.
I hope he spears the shit out of somebody.
I like how you say fame like that actually meant a word. along the way, we see just some weird things happen. There's a character in here named Eve who shows up for all of 2 minutes, disappears. We have no idea who she is, other than the fact that she has very thick glasses. Everyone's weirded out by her, so your assumption is, oh, she must be the other half of this murder crew. She must be the sister. No, but we get no explanation as to why everyone's so weirded out by her. We have little explanation over anything. So the main character, Katie Cassidy's character, Kelly, is dating the guy from Scream Queens. He's her boyfriend. He lives in this town, but he's apparently had sex and recorded his sex acts with a whole bunch of other women in this town before he met her, videotaped it. So one of the girls in her sorority is watching this video on her laptop. But again, we don't know the context as to why she has it, why she's looking at it. Nothing ever is expressed. I mean, we see he gets caught. His girlfriend sees the video at some point. But that girl's watching this video over and over again, leaves it on the laptop, and then goes and gets killed. So there's no context as to what's going on with that. And that's a lot of this movie, is things just sort of happen to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. And I guess that's probably my main hang up with this movie, is the fact that there really is, there's not a whole lot of resolution. You don't even know if, I this makes me sound like a fucking asshole, because I don't remember how the movie ended, and I watched it less than 12 hours ago. But I don't even remember them dying at the end. I know that they get started on fire. Oh no, he gets impaled by the Christmas tree. Never mind.
Right.
Motherfuckers.
Yeah, so, and,
but you don't see the sister die.
We don't understand why. So they seem to die in the house. Like the fire goes landing on the sister, and he gets dragged down into it in the house. So people go and collect the bodies. And then at the hospital, both of them turn out to be completely okay and alive and nothing wrong with them. So they can go wandering through the ceiling tiles of the hospital to then try to kill the last two girls again.
So then who's to say that he didn't survive getting impaled by a tree?
Well, that's absolutely true, because what they do at the end of the season is they put the tree away. I'm sure it's not a real one. Right. And so it just sits in a closet for a few months. By the time it gets around to next November or October, or, I mean, obviously, Christmas is getting earlier every year. If the new guy doesn't know that he's supposed to be impaled on it, what if he puts it out there and there's just a lot of blood? And he's like, well, what did this come from? Mm-hmm. And Billy's just wandering around in the background with a hole in his chest.
Fucking Billy.
Fucking Billy, man. So Billy has jaundice and he's yellow.
That was the weirdest... The weirdest twist to the entire movie is that, oh, he's got jaundice, he's yellow, and he just looks like someone took a highlighter to this baby's head.
And there's no reason for it, or nothing comes of it other than the fact that he's got yellow skin. It's just like, we need to give him some freak characteristic other than the mommy rape and, you know, the fact that he was locked away for years of his life. It's also that he's yellow.
I guess there had to be a reason that the mother hated him. So apparently it's common for a mother to hate their child if their child is jaundiced.
But not the weirdest part of the movie to me. The weirdest part of the movie to me, the just not even a lick of sense is made of it, is that he has this little sister who he goes and Christmas years later, he sees that she's given a doll. He pops her eye out and kidnaps her at the same time, kills the parents. And it's obviously played by a little girl. But then when she is killing people in the house and we start seeing her as an adult, the person playing her is a dude. Is obviously a dude. Again, no reference made as to why a dude is playing this who was once a little girl character. This is not a slam against transgendered people at all. I'm with you. I'm a supporter. I love you people. I just want to know contextually... What happened that this girl who supposedly lived somewhere in some mental hospital for a while came back being played by a guy? The movie doesn't explain it, doesn't even try to explain it, and that weirds me out a little bit.
No, and the obsession with eyes, too, was, I feel like, the eye, like, yes, when he sees his dad get killed, it's the same way that he kills people with the bag over the head and then stabs him in the eye. But, like, where did he get the thought to eat an eyeball?
He keeps eating the eyeballs. And then, for some reason, he takes his mom after he kills her and makes cookies, Christmas cookies, with a cookie cutter out of her skin and is cooking and eating those. Nothing ever done like that again in the movie. So it's just, it's a lot of weird scenes that don't add up to anything. It's really, it's just a big old fucking mess.
Yeah, it was not a good film. And I really had high hopes for it. I'd seen the name of the movie a lot and shit like that, and oh god, it was just such a huge letdown.
Well, Katie Cassidy said on her Twitter at some point that this is the worst movie ever made, or at least the worst movie that she's ever been in, and I can't find a lot of reason to argue with her.
Yeah.
It also came out on Christmas Day in America and had a huge uproar from a lot of religious groups, because you don't put out a movie about Christmas where people are being killed on Christmas Day.
Why not?
I guess, unless it's, you know, about Jesus, because it seems like there was some death in the Jesus story. I'm just saying.
Yes. Yes, somebody died.
Yeah. But this was a hot old mess, and nobody seems very proud of it. I guess Michelle Trachtenberg requested or said she would only do this movie if her character died in it.
I mean, I guess that's how some people get famous, by being murdered, like a Johnny Depp.
And Andrea Martin's character, Miss Mack or whatever her name was, the head of the sort of like watch lady for the sorority house, doesn't even get murdered. She's running away from one of the other characters being killed in the car, and then an icicle falls and impales on her face.
I feel like that just, they did that because.
It's just because slapstick. It was just because. It's like, oh, well, she needs to die too. Mm-hmm. There's the scene in the movie Clue where everybody's just walking from room to room and three murders have just happened and they're just walking from room to room and they're just kind of like, they see the third body and they just sigh and they keep walking because it's just worn itself out. They've become derailed and desensitized to it. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was kind of the point in this, that it's just like, at some point, all these people are dead, but you just kind of stop giving a shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't really think about it that way. I just thought that they half-assed wrote this movie and didn't close any of the story loops or the story holes that they put into it. And you know, if you're going to make a movie that is dumb slapstick in it, call it a horror comedy then.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Put a few one-liners in it. They try to make some callback to the first girl who's killed by her sister showing up. But even that, it's just kind of like, oh, here's why I showed up. Here's why I give a crap. Let's find my sister. Oh, sister's dead. And even that, there's not a closure because she dies eventually, too. It's really just, it's a bad effort. It's a poor effort all the way around. I don't understand how I'm supposed to rate something where we normally rate on people being killed, and now there's nobody being killed, so that should be considered a good thing.
Yeah.
But zero dead hookers. However it works, zero dead hookers.
Wow, you're giving it a zero.
I really am. I mean, I want to enjoy it. The cast itself seems like I would like this movie. You know, all of these actresses are great. I was very happy with who was in this, but it's just, it's like you get... You remember when they had the dream team for the Olympics, the basketball team?
Yeah.
Okay, it's like you get all of those players together and you put a team together and you say, okay, and now we're going to play Parcheesi. That's what this movie was.
It's a pretty good analogy. I think it's really funny. Now, you're far more well-versed than I am with actresses and actors and all that shit because, you know, as the internet has told me, I'm uninformed, but... there were people in here that I've seen in other things and I didn't hate. So I don't want to say I had high hopes for it because the more horror movies I watch, the more I realize that there's garbage. A lot of these are pretty bad. But I at least expected to be somewhat entertained for an hour and a half versus constantly checking to see when the fucking thing was over.
Yeah.
Like there were so many times where I was just like, oh, still 40 minutes left. Like, I can't wait for this to be over so I can go to the grocery store. Like, that shouldn't happen with a movie, and that's totally what happened here. So I, too, since we've clearly decided that we can give us something zero, I'm going zero dead hookers as well.
Yeah, it's too bad. All of these people deserve better. Glenn Morgan deserved better, but I don't know. I mean, you can find a script online. I have a feeling that it was never a good movie to begin with, but
no. It
certainly got taken for an even worse ride than what it was intended to be. The backstory of the character, of the Billy character, and the mysterious addition of the sister Agnes, I don't get any of it. It just doesn't come together. Like, I thought maybe it was going to be one of those things like, oh, well, Billy's been institutionalized this whole time, but he's not actually the bad guy. It's the sister who's the bad guy, and he shows up there and redeems himself. Yeah. None of that. There's no depth to any of it. It's just a white-hot mess.
Yeah, I was curious of the budget and all that. And their budget was $9 million, and it made $21 million, which surprises me. I figured it would have lost money, but what surprises me more is the fact that they had $9 million to make this piece of shit. Probably went, a lot of yellow paint ate into that budget, but
a lot of fake snow.
A lot of fake snow, yellow paint. There wasn't even boobs.
There was a brief nude scene. Doesn't count. There was a shower scene.
Doesn't count.
Yeah, it shouldn't. It didn't elevate anything.
No,
and by that, I don't mean, you know, ED or...
didn't even think of that, but I appreciate you coming out. And
that character as well dies off screen, but that was one of the scenes that I guess was deleted from the US version, is that they do have a... And I'm sort of appreciative that it didn't happen. I may even give it a half star for this. That it was a semi-molesty, rapey scene that we didn't have to bear through. So thank you for that.
You get some redemption for that. But yeah, I think that's going to wrap it up. I have nothing more to say to you.
I look forward to whatever the next Christmas film is, because it's got to be better than this.
That's true. So before we get out of here, why don't you go ahead and tell the nice people where they can find you on the internet, what else you're doing with your life.
I'm co-host of this. I also have recently, I was on this week's episode of Sci-Fi Geeks Club, which was a good old time. Please check that out. I also work with the Else Nerds on our network, where we do a show called What Else Is On. I will be coming back to that one. And hopefully we'll be doing a little bit more in the coming weeks. But right now you can usually find me, I don't know, I have a Twitter. I don't use it. You're better off looking for me on Facebook. I'm not one of those people who's against adding friends I don't know. Just let me know what you know me from and I'll probably add you back.
Touche. That's a valid point. I usually try and keep my Facebook tied down, but doing a lot of these, I start to know a lot of the people that we meet, so it's different. But I have Twitter. It's at Matt the Lifeguard. Instagram, at Matt the Lifeguard. That's about it. Corey and I are actually going to be on Trivia Geeks. I don't know when the episode's actually come up, but we're recording it on January 5th. We're competing against each other, right?
Yeah, that was kind of an accident. I had
totally
seen that Dave was going to be on an episode, or was recording an episode, and I said, oh, that would be a fun one to be on. And we had some miscommunication on timing, so they booked Brad. He's coming up there this month, and then they let me pick a date. And when I picked it, they said, oh, well, that's great. You're going to be on this episode with Matt Stein. He is from the Horde podcast over on Black Netcast.
So they didn't know that you two are on it?
Had no idea.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, I think I've heard of him.
Yeah, I listened to the JF and Amy Frost episode on my way to Minneapolis. And,
yeah, that was a lot of fun. And the one with, oh God, I can't think of her name all of a sudden. I think it's Jenny Josephson. She is the TD for Daily Tech News Show with Tom Merritt. And she also does a podcast called Tell It Anyway, which is quite excellent. She is great. She's on an episode. I think the most recent episode they've released. And that one was terrific. So I am slightly intimidated.
Yeah,
those questions. Had on there.
Well, the questions are super hard. I try not to live up to anyone's standards, because if you're allowing me on your show for whatever reason, you're bringing the bar down a little bit.
Well, I did ask them specifically to put in a Doctor Who category.
Fuck you. they asked me, they're like, what are your specialties? And I'm like, food, beer, The Simpsons, and death metal. So I'm like, well, I'm curious what kind of questions you come up with.
Well, those are things I'm going to have to study now.
Yeah, start watching The Simpsons, buddy. Or
Way
beer.
To get away.
Oh, if I remember correctly, my bonus round questions are based on my specialties and yours are based on yours.
Right.
So it doesn't even matter.
No, but I can steal. So check out Trivia Geeks podcast. It is quite a fun show, and look forward to seeing us on there.
Yes, and final statement, I apologize to anyone who had to listen to me sniffle and swallow snot the entire episode. I am getting over a cold, and that's just kind of the way it goes. And my drugs wore off, so like halfway through the episode, I just got real shitty and snotty. So that does it for another fun-filled episode of the Podcast of Terror, and we will connect up with you guys all next time.
Stay scared, everybody.
You have been listening to a production of Galactic Netcasts. For more about the show you just listened to, including how to subscribe and give us feedback, plus additional podcasts from the Galactic Network, daily news features, videos, links to our social networks, and more, go to gncasts.com. That's GNCASTS.com.